This podcast was recorded Thursday, January 21st at 10:32 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like after all the bipartisan calls for unity, we'll be back to partisan bickering.
Then we'll be back to normal. Let's talk Ohio politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters who shrewdly get things done. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up, our Snollygosters of the week. It was a tough week for them, but they contributed in a small way to this week's peaceful transfer of power. But first,
preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Thank President. You.
That is, of course, Joseph R. Biden becoming the 46th President of the United States in what was a sort of uniquely normal inauguration ceremony. It was unique because of the pandemic, no crowds. The stands behind the podium looked like an Indians game from the 1970s. No real parade, no inaugural balls. And, oh yeah, there were thousands of armed troops and police that turned Washington into a hardened bunker of sorts. But compared to the last 4 years, again, it was refreshingly normal.
Yep. Pretty normal. No talk of American carnage this year. Just calls for unity, calls for bipartisanship, promises to put the American people first, whether your party wins or loses, and to lower the volume of political rhetoric. This is always the theme of presidential inaugurations. Well, perhaps except for the one 4 years ago. This is usually the theme of presidential inaugurations, but this time, calls for unity really hit home, Steve. Would you agree?
I would say they hit home among Democrats and among independents and probably moderate Republicans. I don't think that they hit home among people on the farther right. I live in rural Union County, right? We often talk about the view from Richwood. They certainly did not hit home with my friends on Facebook who were sarcastically sharing the hashtag resist, right? The same thing that a lot of Democrats were sharing 4 years ago. A lot of people were laughing at Biden's calls for unity. I think they did, again, they really galvanized the moderates in this country, if you will, that it's, again, as you say, it's a return to normal. It's a somewhat refreshing return to normal, even though we are still in the throes of a pandemic. But yeah, I think that was my general takeaway, that the people on the far right, we're like, what? You want to call for unity now? And yeah. I still think this it landed very well among Democrats and moderates. That's for sure.
Yeah, even on the far left, I mean, this was certainly not the norm, but there was a protest in Portland that was denouncing Biden, and they apparently, you know, vandalized the Oregon Democratic Party headquarters in Portland. These are folks from the far left, we assume. We don't know for sure who they were.
There were a few Black Lives Matter protests outside the state house on Inauguration Day.
Yeah. So, but I think for the most part, even if we'll go through the congressional reactions in a moment. For the most part, I think it was well received. He did say all the right things, and he's been saying these things. He has said over and over again during the campaign that he wants to be the president for the folks who voted for him and for folks who voted against him. And he has said that throughout the campaign. And now, you know, we have to see how long this lasts. I think for the most part, it was well received in Washington. Now we got to see what happens. Of course, he signed all those executive orders within hours, undoing much of what President Trump had done. And the more were being signed on Thursday as we record this. You know, yesterday on my run, I live in suburban Columbus here, and I run around, and I noted during the campaign how many Trump signs, how many Biden signs there were. The signs are all gone now, which is a good thing. But there were several homes that had flags out. There was one home, a home that used to have a Trump sign on it that had the American flag out there upside down, which is a signal of distress. So it was that person's form of mild protest that things are not as rosy as Joe Biden wants them to be. And also, to be fair, Democrats had upside down American flags when Donald Trump was inaugurated 4 years ago. So I just hope that there is some sort of compromise and we can get back to normal. I think it'll be just nice not to have to talk about the President of the United States every single day. We will during this new period, but I hope we get back to a point where we're talking about issues and other things.
Yeah, I don't think we'll wake up anymore at 5 a.m. and hear a newscaster say, the president tweeted overnight. I think I hope that phrase is gone. Honestly, that was sort of a distressing part of this administration, just waiting by the Twitter machine to see what happened. I will say that, again, in my very, very rural, mostly conservative area, there are still a lot of Trump signs out. People, you know, obviously there are no zoning laws that say how long you can have a political sign up, even whether or not those laws are really not enforceable. People do often abide by them. There are still in the country, there are still a lot of Trump signs still up, big ones even. My mom's neighbor has a Trump train, all aboard the Trump train flag, still hanging out front of his house. And I think it gets at that refusal to accept the results. I think some of this might just be still backing your guy, even if you think. Even if you accept the fact that he lost, I think there are still some deniers out there. I don't think we really need to give them any airtime, but there are still some deniers out there. And yeah, I think it was interesting how Joe Biden said that I do want to be president for everyone. Trump 4 years ago, basically, you know, he said F you to Democrats. I'm here. Yeah. I'm here to do this. Why I was elected. I'm here to build a wall. I'm here to, quote, make America great again. And we did not get any of that divisiveness during this week's inauguration of Joe Biden.
No. What was your favorite part? I'm trying to think. You can't say that Amanda Gorham's poem was your favorite part, because that was everybody's favorite part. But what was your favorite part of the inauguration?
You know, I guess kind of sarcastically, my favorite part might be the gift giving. I don't recall ever. I've watched inaugurations, plenty of them. Maybe I've never made it deep enough into one to see all the gifts that are giving. It was like the world's stodgiest episode of Antiques Roadshow when they're giving away these portraits and these vases. And it was nice. The intent was very nice. But I had never seen anything like that. And I got a laugh out of it. It really struck me like an episode of Antiques Roadshow.
I think, I don't know, I may be wrong here, but I think the gift giving has always been a part of the inauguration, but usually the reception that members of Congress have for the new president and vice president is not open to the public. So we may not see the actual presentation of the gifts. It was this year because they didn't have the luncheon because of the pandemic. And it was, you know, I didn't watch much of the evening festivities, but I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, usually I'm not a big, you know, the inaugural ball stuff. I mean, how many times can you watch the president and first lady dance around a dance floor? You know, that always seems kind of stodgy. The concerts and the fireworks display, that was kind of cool. I mean, maybe that'll become a permanent part of the inauguration. It was just nice to see the platform back to normal. It was empty, as we said, because of the pandemic, and only half filled, maybe a third filled what it normally is.
And you know what? I will amend my answer. I will say, actually, my favorite thing was all the memes that came out of this. The Bernie Sanders memes of him sitting with his legs crossed, wearing the mittens, are just fantastic.
And they continue today. There were a couple dozen yesterday, and then today there was one where he was sitting next to, you know, Franklin Roosevelt, Joseph Stalin, and Winston Churchill in World War II. those have been incredible.
Yeah, the great. I love the one where he's sitting on with the other iron workers on the Empire State Building. Yes, they're really clever. They're really funny, and I've a lot of entertainment out of those, especially going into Thursday.
Yeah, it was good television yesterday. Good radio. Good for the country. I think folks, you know, that some folks are disappointed, some folks are overjoyed, but I think overall it was a normal inauguration. Whether you agree with the president or not, you have to admit that it was nice to at least get back to some degree of normal. Now, Ohio members of Congress were unified in their calls for unity for the most part, the varying degrees of enthusiasm. We'll start in the Senate. Rob Portman said in a statement that he looks forward with the new administration on areas where we agree in order to make a difference in the lives of Ohioans and all Americans. Where we disagree, I will do so respectfully, says Portman. He says public service is a noble calling, and anyone who serves deserves the respect of the American people, regardless of their political affiliation.
And his counterpart on the other side, Ohio Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown, noted the historic achievement of Kamala Harris. He said he looks, quote, forward to working with President Biden, Vice President Harris, and my colleagues to rise to meet the challenges before us, bring our country together, and continue our fight for the dignity of work. A very, very Sherrod Brown-esque thing to say right there, the dignity of work.
That's his tagline. It says it every time. Over in the other chamber, first to the Republicans in the House, Republican Brad Renstrup said via Twitter, quote, "I will work with the new administration, as I have with the previous two, to seek common ground and advance the causes of freedom and opportunity for all American citizens. I ask you to join me in praying that God grant strength and wisdom to President Biden, Vice President Harris, their families, and the entire United States of America." That's from Brad Renstrup, Republican congressman.
That's a nice statement there. Troy Balderson, yeah. Central Ohio congressman, released two statements soon after the ceremony. He said, quote, "I welcome President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and congratulate them on their inauguration. I look forward to working with each of you in the coming years to advance Ohio's priorities." Then later in the day, he wrote, "As Inauguration Day comes to a close, I urge my fellow Americans to show their support for President Biden and Vice President Harris and the entire incoming administration. Now more than ever, we must all commit ourselves to uphold civility in our great country."
You know, that he sort of was swept up in the enthusiasm of the Inauguration Day, you could see, because the second one was definitely more enthusiastic from Troy Balderson. Other Republican Ohio congressmen were a little less enthusiastic, but still civil. Jim Jordan, who voted to overturn the election 2 weeks ago, did not have much to say. Just a quick, short Twitter message. Quote, "America's the greatest country ever. May God continue to bless us all." Unquote. That was it.
Is that the first time Jim Jordan has ever been short on something to say?
Well, he did make an appearance on the conservative cable network Newsmax later yesterday, or on Inauguration Day, where he talked about the president's son, Hunter Biden. So he was back to his
there
old
we go. That's
line,
that's my congressman, Jim. He actually is my congressman. Bill Johnson of Southeast Ohio, who also voted to overturn the election 2 weeks ago, also did not congratulate the new president. Johnson's statement said, quote, "Today I attended President Joe Biden's inauguration. It's my hope that the new administration will listen to rural Americans who feel economically and culturally isolated, because until everyone is able to participate in our economy, our nation will remain deeply divided."
Yeah, Democrats basically echoed Biden's call for unity. Not terribly newsworthy. It's their president, so what they have to say, frankly, is less newsworthy. Tim Ryan said now is the time to defeat the coronavirus, restore our economy, and regain faith around the world. Joyce Beatty from the Columbus area says, "I too promise to lead by example, working closely with the administration and congressional leadership to heal the wounds of the past." Now, she's not a member of Congress, but one of our favorite responses came from the head of the Ohio Republican Party, Jane Timken. Here's her statement. Quote, "Today marks the end of President Trump's four-year term, a presidency of promises made and promises kept to the American people." She goes on to list a fairly lengthy list of what she considers the president's achievements: cutting taxes, standing up to China, appointing conservative judges. The only mention of the pandemic was in passing when she said the economy was great before it hit. Then at the very end, she says, "Today, as Americans, we wish the best for President Biden and Vice President Harris as we celebrate the peaceful transition of power." Jane Timken, sticking with Trump even after he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, for people who work in music radio, like work for rock stations, there's a phrase, "shut up and play the hits." That's Jane Timken right there. She's just being quiet, just playing the hits. Trump, the economy, cutting taxes, standing up to China. I mean, she's really firing on all cylinders there. She's in 2018 form right there.
Yeah, and by the way, we have a new president, and good luck to you.
Now, none of this is surprising. It's not surprising at all that Democrats are now calling for unity when a lot of them were talking about resisting 4 years ago. Quite frankly, it's sort of surprising how tepid a lot of these Republican statements are. I know that, you know, watching the inauguration is a beautiful thing, right? It's a very patriotic ceremony. They play Hail to the Chief as soon as Joe Biden puts his hand on the Bible and says, "So help me God." But I am surprised at how relaxed some of these statements are, even from Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, in his statement, not really throwing any bombs. He may have on Newsmax, but not on Twitter.
Well, I mean, don't forget, 2 weeks ago, the mob took over the Capitol, and that is on the minds of Republicans. They're trying to heal the wounds that insurrection caused, and that they have been blamed for, President Trump being the leader, but other Congress people in Washington who fostered the conspiracy theories about a stolen election, or at the very least refused to discount those theories. So they've heard from their constituents. They fear donations from corporate America with the Senate races and House races, the campaign fundraising starting to begin for 2022. They have to tone it down. And that's good for the country if things get toned down. Now impeachment's coming, and the impeachment trial is coming, and let's see what happens there. That's going to come possibly as early as, you know, 2 weeks from now.
I don't think that'll be so toned down, Mike. I think things might be a little lively there in the Senate. But yeah, yesterday was a nice reprieve, even for political wise asses like us who love political drama. Right, we thrive on it. We often joke about how we don't want bipartisanship and people getting along, and we don't want people being nice to each other. It was nice to watch on TV that it was nice to see President Obama and George W. Bush and all these incredibly famous politicians who we know and we don't see all the time. It was really nice to see them on stage congratulating President Biden. It was very patriotic. It felt great. It felt good to be an American yesterday. We haven't really been able to say that a lot lately.
It was great political theater. I do say one thing. We talked about things we liked about the inauguration. What was A-Rod doing on the platform? I know he's with together J-Lo. With J-Lo right now, but Alex Rodriguez gets one of the few seats up there on the good luck to him.
Well, you're a Boston fan. You're a Red Sox fan.
Yes.
You don't welcome A-Rod anywhere.
No.
At least you're honest.
The mute button gets hit on the Sunday night broadcast on ESPN.
Anyway, speaking of bitter sports.
That was what we didn't hear from A-Rod yesterday, so I guess that was good. Anyway, we're getting off track again. Sorry.
Yeah. So here in Ohio, right, we heard a lot about how these protests were coming to the State House. The FBI warned of armed marches in all 50 state capitals. The Columbus City Police, the Columbus City government shut down the city hall, the state house was closed through inauguration day, and then ultimately nothing really happened.
Yeah, a number of factors. I think first, I think political leaders, governor, the mayor of Governor DeWine and mayor of Columbus, Andrew Ginther, were pretty strong saying we're not going to put up with any shenanigans. And the presence was immense. I mean, there were Humvees circling the state house and blocking all the entrances to the parking garage, which is underneath the state house. There were, scores, if not hundreds of troops and police officers ready to go. And I think maybe that dampened any sort of protest. And I also think that, again, after what happened at the Capitol, people might have said, whoa, I'm not gonna get caught up in that again. Mm-hmm. So maybe that kept them away as well. But there were people down there. There were some conspiracy theorists, the guy in the, a 9/11 was an inside job hat was continuing his theory that the election was stolen, and that's fine, but it was peaceful, which was good.
Yeah, there were some, like you said, there were some far right groups there, extremist groups. You could technically say the Boogaloo Boys. They're a group that advocates for violence in order to start a second civil war. That Boogaloo term is how they refer to the second dance. There weren't many of them, and they did go to great lengths to come off as bipartisan. They did not sound like crazy people when reporters talked to them on Sunday. I am curious about whether the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys and whatever boys, whoever they are, remain as visible as they were during Trump's tenure, or whether they fizzle out. I would assume they leave the public view, but they would arguably become more insidious and potentially more dangerous when there's not a lot of attention on them.
Yeah, folks, in the black community will say that they've always been there. They've always been there. They've been underground. They've remained in the woods, and they have their little militia exercises out in the country. And what Trump did was gave them license to be out in the public. And now we'll have to see, what happens. I think it depends on what Donald Trump does. Or if somebody picks up the mantle from Donald Trump and becomes a viable political force, I think you see these folks stick around. Other than that, I do think that they sort of fade into the background again. Obviously, there will always be racists with us, at least for the foreseeable future. And these folks aren't going away. And, it's six of one, half dozen. Do you want them out in the public so we see who they are? Or do you want them going underground again, and we don't know who they are. So it'll be really curious to watch what happens. I think Donald Trump will fade into the background. Former presidents always do. He's different, but without Twitter, I'm not sure how he remains visible. Because the media is not going to cover his speeches. I don't expect them to cover his speeches. And if he has a rally, I don't see them covering him.
Yeah, he did say in his departing address at Joint Base Andrews that I will be back in some form. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's just to appease his supporters. I will be interested to see if anybody does fill his footsteps to fill what turned out to be a very large and a very profitable, to be quite frank, sort of vein of populism. You know, it did certainly, at least on the Venn diagram, there was some overlapping with fascism groups, with white supremacy groups, with a lot of racist groups. But there is a lot of untapped anxiety that you know, Bill Johnson talked about in his statement, that he hopes that Joe Biden sticks up for rural Americans. He's getting at a big reason why President Trump was elected. And I will be very curious to see if anybody really strives to fill that gap.
That's what Joe Biden's mission will have to be. He needs to, and Democrats in the House and the Senate really do need to reach out again and do things that affect the lives of rural Americans, working class Americans, both white Americans and black Americans in the working class, and do things that lift up their wages, give them better benefits, give them more financial security, and close that income gap. Otherwise, the Trump populism will continue, because that's where the roots are, in frustration that neither party, don't forget, Donald Trump first defeated the Republican Party to become president, then he defeated the Democrats, that neither party was addressing their concerns. They saw their wages stagnant and their health insurance premiums going up and their housing stock and becoming less and less affordable. And if that doesn't change in the next couple of years, then Democrats are going to be in trouble again.
Getting back to those State House protests on Sunday, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award. It's where we honor the shrewdest political move or politician of the week. And no, it's not the Proud Boys. It's not the Boogaloo Boys. It's not anybody else who organized those Sunday protests. It is the Cleveland Browns. They lost their playoff game on Sunday, but word from those who did protest at the State House was that the crowd was small, and whatever crowd was there left early so they could go home and watch the Browns game.
Yes, the Browns did not advance to the AFC Championship, but they may have played a minor role in preventing trouble at the State House last week. Very shrewd, Cleveland Browns, very shrewd.
The Browns always end up surprising you when they lose. They always find a new rabbit to pull out of the hat, if you will. They always find a new way to just really gut punch their fans.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, in individual rights, stolen elections are great. But, you know, the Browns are on TV. We got to go.
If that's what it takes to prevent insurrection at the Ohio State House, I'm all for it.
Not a bad thing at all.
Here's to 2021 Browns, our Snollygoster of the Week Award recipient. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to give us a good review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast. And as always, just tell your friends about us. Get the word out there. For our audio producer, Eric French, for our student producer, Jack Long, and for our web producer, Michael DeBotis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.